Hello and welcome in to another edition of the Rebel Room. I'm Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer breaking down what's going on with UNLV basketball, which lately has been an interesting ride to follow along. We are four games into interim coach Todd Simon's tenure here as UNLV pushes towards the, you know, nearing the midway point of conference play. And after three victories by an average margin of 20 points per game, Simon and the Rebels lost their first game since Dave Rice's firing. And it was a bitter pill to swallow, losing at Reno, where they have now lost two out of the last three. They've lost four out of six to the in-state rival overall. And we'll start with that before we look ahead to a very big week as they host Boise State, who is second in the league. On Wednesday, Saturday, San Diego State, the only undefeated team, at least as of this recording, undefeated in league play. They go to Reno either Tuesday. By the time you hear this, that game has probably been played. So a chance that they would have a blemish on that record by the time they come into the MAC, probably not, though. So big week ahead. But first, we got to look at how UNLV ended up at 3-4 in league play with this most recent loss. Ray, before we started recording, you said that you knew what I was going to ask you and what your response was going to be. What is it I should be asking you right now?
Well, I would think that knowing you, Taylor, you like to get me a little riled up, that you would ask me about losing to the team from the north.
The team up north,
and
sure.
And my thoughts on that.
In the team that plays its basketball in your least favorite city in the country.
Yes. And my response would be is that it's sickening in my stomach to lose to. I mean, in what bizarre world do we live in where UNLV's got the Fremont Cannon for football and Reno, like, beats UNLV in basketball every year?
Well, this world. It just blows my mind
where it's like every time I think the Rebels have gotten it figured out, they have a game where they lose, you know, in the way they did. Now, I will give credit where credit is due. I mean, I watched the game on TV. The crowd there was just berserk. It's tough to play on the road in college basketball. It's, in my opinion, the toughest sport to play on the road in. And it was just a great environment. But by no way should UNLV have lost that game. I mean, they missed the foul shots, the just dumb turnovers. You know, it's similar to how they lost at Wyoming and at Colorado State, you know, games they should have won. And that's the thing. If you look, they're 3-4 in league, guys, right?
Yep.
All four of the losses, you could argue they should have won the game.
Sure. I mean, it's an average margin of defeat of 2 points each game. Okay. Like, they were in every game.
And so, and I know, I think you were going to piggyback and say, well, does this change your opinion on Todd Simon? Because last week I told everybody that, you know, I think Todd Simon should get a serious look to be the new head coach. And does this loss to Reno change my opinion? And my answer to that question would be it makes me take a harder look at it because in the grand scheme of things, you got to beat – UNLV still builds itself as a national brand, which you could argue – it hasn't been that way in a while, especially since it's been so long since they've been to the tournament. But you just can't be on par with Colorado State and Wyoming and Reno. Those teams are just, you know, UNLV's supposed to be a top five mid-major team. You look at the good mid-majors, Gonzaga, Wichita State. UNLV should be top five in that conversation, and they're not even top 20. Go ahead. I'm sorry. It's not about me.
Well, I just we just went to like a huge macro conversation there at the end. Just briefly, because I don't really want to get into too much of the Todd Simon thing right now, because I just let him coach out the year. Let's see how it goes. Would you feel the same way about like taking a harder look? Let's say this was played out the exact same way, but it was a loss at Fresno State. You feeling the same, or is it like worse because it's Reno and that somehow changed? Because I saw people when they just had a bad stretch in the second half, it was just like, oh, guess Todd Simon's not the guy. It's like, what the hell? Like, that whatever happened there shouldn't have changed your opinion a whole lot. Like, especially the ones I saw in game doing it. Like, He either is or he isn't. But that, like, you know, 7 minutes shouldn't dictate it. But I get the impression that you feel like it did a little bit.
I mean, I just think that you lose to Reno. There's one thing if Reno just goes out and beats you. But, you know, you turn the ball over, you miss foul shots, and you lose the game the way you did. Yeah, it's going to cause everybody to think twice. But, I mean, Todd Simon is still the same – still brings to the table what we've said, you know, since Dave Rice's departure. He's, you know, going to be a great recruiter. He's and this is the thing is – what does Todd Simon bring on game day? And that's the question I don't know the answer to, and I don't know if Saturday changed my opinion on that or how that should factor in and what kind of learning curve is UNLV willing to take with a Todd Simon who would still be a rookie head coach? And that's the question we're going to have to answer at the end of the year, and I think it goes back to – you know, in terms of totally taking one point and blowing it out of the water, how much money is UNLV going to spend on its new head coach?
Case, should Todd Simon be hired or fired based on what you've seen in this 3-1 stretch?
Absolutely not. I mean, I know this is probably just a boring answer, but the loss at Reno didn't change my opinion one bit of what Todd Simon has done. I mean, they had two tough road games last week. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but I think I probably would have guessed that they go 1-1. That one of them they pulled away in the second half and won by quite a bit, I thought was impressive. I mean, now we have a sample size of 4 games, and he's done a great job in 3 of them. And, you know, this last one, it just seems like some of the old issues came up. I don't know why we can just be so quick to throw this on Todd Simon and say he's not the guy when you shoot, I think, 50% from free throw.
14 of 28.
3 of 19 from
correct.
3. Looking at that box score, this is a whole other subject, but what an interesting box score to look at. No one in double figures.
Yep. Second time strange. This year.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be way patient. There's absolutely no reason to jump to conclusions about Todd Simon right now unless you just want something to yell about and sound. I don't get it. Let's give it 3 more weeks or whatever and see what happens.
You know, obviously I completely agree with you, but let me localize it for you a little bit. What if KU, for example, where you went to school, you're a KU basketball fan, right? You're KU. You went to school at KU as well, right? Self leaves KU. The assistant gets a chance to prove that he gets the job, and you guys go and lose at Missouri. Or you go and lose at K-State.
Well, they don't play Missouri anymore.
I totally get it. I totally get it. Missouri's in the SEC, but prior to that. Or they lose a game that matters to you as somebody who gets, you know, the rivalries with KU.
Well, here's where I think I feel differently than you. You said it's one thing if Reno just beat them. I actually, in this situation, would be more likely to say, okay, he's not the guy if Reno did just beat them and they didn't make all these mistakes. I mean, if Reno just straight up beat them, a team you know is not as good, then I would think that's more of a red flag than we lost a 2-point game where we couldn't hit any free throws and shot terribly from the field. I don't know. I think that's more concerning to me than losing a close game.
I think
game.
I agree with you, Case, but I understand Ray's point. And it's largely because, correct me if I'm wrong here, Ray, but that's like the same way that UNLV has been losing. And so and specifically like this game, you know, as we mentioned, 17 turnovers, 14-28 at the free throw line. Those were the two biggest things in the first 3 league losses was turnovers and missed free throws. And there are other things obviously too, but those are the ones that really stick out and just beating yourself in the last 5 minutes. And that's how this game was. And so I get like having an immediate, like just stepping back from a game like that, like seeing that and kind of being repulsed a little bit. But I think your larger point is correct. Like if you went in there, and this is not a particularly good Reno team, next year those guys are going to be a problem. I think Musselman was a good hire. They've got a lot of transfers waiting in the wings. They're going to score a lot. They're already scoring. They're going to score a lot next year. They're going to be a good team that's going to be, you know, closer to the top half of the league. So that – this isn't going anywhere. You know, these battles against Reno and these losses, as I mentioned, 4 out of 6 have gone for Nevada recently in this series. So that's not going anywhere. You know, this is something that UNLV is going to have to deal with. And the reason the Kansas comparison doesn't work is because Kansas can go pay for anybody. And it's, you know, one of the best jobs in college basketball. For UNLV, we still don't know what they're paying. And so that, and as you alluded to earlier, Ray, that ultimately, you know, kind of depends on which direction they can end up going. You got something, Case?
Oh, just 4 out of 6. I didn't realize that. I actually have I'm proud of Brewer that he hasn't lost it more. 4 out of 6 basketball losses.
Well, they swept him.
He seems pretty measured. I remember they did sweep him 1 year.
Well, and I think he's calm-ish for that because what happened that year also that UNLV basketball got swept. You said it earlier.
Cannon, baby.
Cannon. Yeah, so that was when that happened, he was just like, eh, screw, at least we got the cannon. Like, how would you have been that year that David Carter swept UNLV if the Rebels didn't also have the cannon?
Exactly. And I think I remember in one of my columns after a Colin Kaepernick torching of Mike Sanford that I was like, well, you know, at least – UNLV hasn't lost to them in basketball since 2000, whatever, and they're 182-1 all time against Reno or whatever, a pretty impressive stat. And now it's just like, you know, you could see the football program at UNLV trending up, Reno kind of leveling off, Sanchez versus Polian, and you could kind of see the Reno basketball program trending up, get a former NBA coach. You know, they clearly are playing well. And UNLV, you don't know who the coach is going to be or how the roster is going to look, kind of leveling off as well. And it's just like, all right, let's get back to how it should be. Let's let Reno kick our butt in football every year, and let's win some basketball games. No offense, Tony, I love you.
But
we're not going to get the best of both worlds, clearly. It's like that Seinfeld episode. You lose a dollar, you find a dollar.
So ultimately, if you can only pick one, is it always going to be basketball?
I mean, I would – yeah, I guess.
Because you're more of a football guy everywhere else,
but basketball,
I think. Like high school football is your like biggest passion.
But when I grew up, it was the Rebels and going to the Rebel game with my dad and national championship when I was in middle school, you know, Final Four the following year. I mean, this is my foot in the ground – I want to watch the Rebels type of thing, which I think I should get complimented more by readers on my objectivity in my writing.
Considering all of that.
I mean, this is like the team I grew up with. We didn't have pro sports. You know, go with your dad, sold out crowd every night, beat David Robinson and Navy, Freddie Banks at the buzzer against Memphis State, like defining moments of my childhood. And now I'm sitting behind a computer after a game like, oh, they didn't rebound again. Oh, the McDonald's All-American missed a shot again. I think I'm pretty phenomenal if I can talk about myself like that.
I love it. So as we mentioned, the Reno loss, a lot of it was kind of the same stuff that had popped up in those first three league losses, Fresno State, at Colorado State, at Wyoming. Huge week ahead. As I mentioned, second place Boise State, first place San Diego State coming in on the weekend. Do you guys see this as something where UNLV fell back into old habits and so that's how it's going to remain this week? Are you expecting them to come out win by 20 like they were doing in the other, something in between? Kind of where are you at? I have a very clear feeling on how I think this week is going to go, but I'm curious kind of what you guys are feeling, whoever wants to start.
I don't really have that strong of a feeling. I mean, they get them both at home, of course. I think they're going to play well, but these are two good teams, so I wouldn't be stunned if it comes down to a few possessions at the end of the game. And then if they turn the ball over and miss some free throws instead of hit some big shots, then we're going to be having the exact same conversation. So I think they're going to play well this week, but I guess the problem is even if you play well, there's no guarantee you're winning both these games against these two teams.
My thoughts are... 3-0 under Todd Simon before last weekend, and we kind of knew what to expect. They made a change, and the Rebels were better after the change. But how are they going to respond now that they've lost? And, they have a losing record in league. This week for me is if you come out of it 2-0, you still have the optimism that you could do something in the league tournament. If you go 0-2 and you're 3-6 in league, then you're kind of just like playing out the schedule. So I think this is going to be one of those, season-defining weeks. I actually think UNLV matches up well against both teams. I want to see how the crowds are going to be because we saw how important that is this past weekend. If you know, a 5 o'clock start on a Saturday night, if you can't come support UNLV against San Diego State, you know, then I think they got to find something to get the fans back interested, because I think before you got, maybe even you've seen a good Rebel crowd, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, okay, yeah. There were you know, sellouts the first 2 years that I was here, yeah. and even ones that weren't sold out, they were tremendous environments, really great.
Yeah, it's just, for me, it feels so long ago that the Mac was rocking. And maybe it's only been a year and a half, 2 years, but it seems like it felt like five, felt like six. It felt like you were, you know, a freshman at KU moving your stuff into the dorms.
Well, that's going back like 10 years.
And I haven't gone to near as many games, obviously, in the last few years. But the thing I think back to is like those Jimmer games all those years ago. And that's a long time ago.
See, that was fun, man. Oh, boy, those BYU Mountain West tournament games.
I still wish UNLV would play BYU. You know, the environment would be good.
Yeah, for sure.
And now that, honestly, now that Dave Rice isn't here, I think there's a possibility that that happens. I know he didn't want to play Dave Rose, his friend, and that's where he had spent a lot of time. So maybe that's something that UNLV gets going again in the future, because I like adding, you know, kind of the Arizona and Arizona State series just for locale, especially the Arizona game, because that piques people's interest. I think the BYU game would always do well, whether it's here or there. I agree that they match up decently well. You had a few points there. I was trying to remember which one I wanted to start with. I guess the main thing is they're playing for the conference tournament anyway. Like, that's what this is. You know, San Diego State already has a 4-game lead. Boise State has a 3-game lead. So best case scenario, you're pulling to 2 back and 3 back this week. And that's still, like, just seeing what I saw on Saturday, though, that's the game that you can't drop if they were going to have a legitimate chance to make a run at it. Because you were going to lose a couple of more games. You probably couldn't afford to lose any more than 5. You know, there's no way, I don't think. Like, San Diego State ending up at 13-5 already would be quite a crash.
And it's one of the close games.
But possible. But there's no way that it gets to any more than that. You know, they're not going 12-6. They're just not. And so to already have 4 losses 7 games in, you know, that's going to be insurmountable, I believe. But you're right that even with that, let's take it that it is all towards the conference tournament. You still got to be playing well by the time you get there and know that you can beat these teams in this arena. Well, this week is a tremendous opportunity to prove that to yourself. And I think San Diego State, like right now, I would put whatever you want to bet on UNLV winning the San Diego State game. They're going to win that one. Boise State is more of a question mark. And that is because they have guys like Mikey Thompson, you know, former – can you remind me where he went?
Was he Canyon Springs?
Okay.
State champion.
I wanted to say that, but I didn't want to be wrong. So Canyon Springs, high grad, who can have some really good games, and he disappears. If Mikey Thompson shows up, Boise State, kind of a little bit different team, gives them a different element. But you don't know whether that's coming. Nick Duncan can just rain it from 3, or he can shoot like 1 of 8. And there's obviously a huge difference between, you know, like a 5 of 8 and a 1 of 8. And he can get the exact same shots and go either way. And so, you know, it's kind of, that one is more tough to predict. They've had some really close, really good games, probably each of the last, or at least like 5 of the last 6, 6 out of the last 7 games have been within 5 or 6 points. A couple of them, 3 of them, I think, have gone to overtime. It's been a very good series. And so that's why I have a little more apprehension with that game. But ultimately, I think UNLV goes 2-0 this week.
I want to agree with you. I think the thing that told me back is we don't know how they're going to respond in this face of adversity.
It's one loss, though. And it's one loss that they've lost these games the same way. Like, they know the problems. And so while that's concerning because they can pop up at any time, I don't know. I just don't see this team, not with these opponents right now, going into the tank. or having one loss turn into two, or at least in the same way. They could lose that Boise State game, but if they do, I think it's going to be because of James Webb going off or something like that. Boise State mostly earning the win as opposed to having it just completely handed to them. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I mean, we saw them lose three straight that way to start league play. I just feel like things are a little different now.
And that's the thing that, is a red flag for me, is that Fresno and Colorado State come in and you trip over your shoelaces and they beat you. You imagine if you trip over your shoelaces against Boise State or San Diego State. You could lose by 10 or 12.
Yeah. But that's, the one credit one of the credits that you have to give UNLV pretty much the whole year. They play to the competition. The better the team, generally the better they play. So that's why I think this week they will mostly be fine. Not sure that they're getting a win Wednesday, but they will get a win Saturday, and I think they'll look good Wednesday. What are you guys going with for records this week?
I was
going
to go 1-1, but I feel more confident that they're going to win Wednesday, and you're so confident about Saturday now.
Yeah, they're beating San Diego State.
Well, then I guess I'm going 2-0. And I usually hate making blanket statements like this, but I even shuddered when Brewer even brought up 0-2. I don't think it's happening, but I think that if they go 0-2, it's over. Then I think I'll be on here and say, Todd Simon is not your guy. Blow it up. Do something different. You cannot go 0-2 this week. I guess your confidence has made me switch from 1-1 to 2-0.
Brewer, are you making it 3?
No, 1-1. I don't know who the one's going to be, though, both ways. I just – this team is not proven to be able to win two straight games in succession all year that matter against a good competition. And I don't know if they're going to lose Wednesday or lose Saturday. They'll probably win Wednesday and then get complacent and – lose Saturday afternoon.
Well, I will tell you this for sure. If they win Wednesday, they are winning Saturday. So we can come back down here and either Ray will point at me and tell me how wrong I was, or I'll remind him that he did not believe, and we will break that all down.
He'll also butt in that this was a typical podcast, because I swear I was on his side until then. You convinced then I me to jump to you, so now I'm with you.
That's true. Brewer, just he's the oppressed in this room. He knows it. He plays the role well. And we love him for it. We appreciate it. We hope you guys all love him, too. Red out Wednesday if you're going to the game. Wear your red. I would imagine that you have some in your closets. If not, there are plenty of stores around that you can bust it out. Ray's dad could even wear Ohio State if he'd, if it was laundry day on all the UNLV gear. For Case, for Ray, I am Taylor, and we will talk to you guys after this big week next week.